Home isolation is coming, but not quite yet, and it's just for a select few. The Prime Minister floated the idea of a self-isolation pilot in August, saying it would begin in October. Today, she's announced full details of the scheme are coming on Wednesday, and expressions of interest will open from Thursday.
The self-isolation pilot will be kept at 150 people and focus on businesses and employees who are required to travel internationally for work purposes. There'll be a small number of government officials, but the vast majority will be from the private sector. Those in the pilot must be New Zealand citizens and residents, and they must, of course, be fully vaccinated. Those interested in applying will need to arrive in New Zealand from the 30th of October until the 8th of December, with final travellers leaving self-isolation by the 22nd of December.
Jacinda Ardern says the pilot is in preparation for a highly vaccinated population.
So that's why it's being done on a small scale. We are still vaccinating, but the intention is in the first quarter of 2022, when more New Zealanders are vaccinated, it will be safer to run self-isolation at home.
The COVID-19 Response Minister, Chris Hipkins, joins me now. Tēnā koe e te minita.
Kia ora, Lisa.
So, I imagine this is going to be oversubscribed, right? So what are the criteria going to be for assessing the need of the companies to be part of this?
Well, ultimately, we'll be looking for a good spread across the dates of the pilot. We'll be looking for a good mix of different, you know, potentially different arrangements to make sure that we're doing what we're aiming to do here, which is to test out different options, to test out different approaches so that we can see what works, so that we can see what the challenges are associated with that, so that we can be in a position early next year to say, look, these are the things that work. These are the things that we know we can do more of. These are the things we still need to do more work on.
In assessing the companies, are you going to take into account the value of the business they're doing?
Yes, of course. Those are the sorts of things that, you know, people will put forward proposals based on. But I want to be clear here. You know, we're talking about 150 people potentially. It's a pilot. It's really designed to make sure that we can get this right, because we know that there's massive demand there. We know we're going to need to do things differently early in the new part of the year next year. And so we want to make sure that we're getting all of those lessons on board as quickly as we can, so that we can then, you know, have border settings that allow a greater number of people to come in and to go out.
It's pretty small, right? As you point out, 150 people, and the Prime Minister has said there will be some government officials, MPs, in that mix. What percentage do you reckon are going to be taken up by MPs and government ministries?
Oh, very small. Actually, we want to make sure that we're bringing in, you know, business people that we're actually, you know, it's a pilot, so we want this to be successful, but we also want to make sure that we're learning something from it. So we want to, you know, be working with a variety of different types of people, you know, different types of businesses and so on, so that we can, you know, make sure that we're capturing all the information that we need.
So what is the criteria for assessing this? I mean, what does success look like?
Oh, well, success looks like people safely returning back into the country, not bringing COVID-19 with them, not bringing it out into the community, not putting the community at undue risk. That's obviously the successful outcome we're looking for, because, you know, we do want to be in a position to be able to do more of this.
So what sort of monitoring are you going to have of these people?
We'll be finalising and releasing more details on that in due course. It's likely to be, again, we're looking at something that we can scale, so something we can do more of. Smartphone technology provides us with some tools, and so we're likely to be drawing on those in particular.
So, Minister, are you going to ask people, well, they're going to have to commit to being tracked, per se, by some kind of device, whether it's their cell phone or something else?
Yeah, smartphone technology is probably the less threatening of that compared to other, you know, options like an ankle bracelet or something. But a smartphone that has GPS enabled might also have some form of, you know, face recognition or whatever, so that you can be sure that the person who's, you know, carrying the phone is the person who's supposed to be, those sorts of things. So, you know, those are the technology options that we'll work through.
So the Prime Minister has said this is basically a blueprint that potentially you're going to use in the future for wider groups, right, as more of us become vaccinated. I see in some of the lists of the criteria is that you have to have separate premises. You can't isolate with anyone else, which makes sense, but no shared ventilation. So that means no apartments, I assume, and therefore people will have to, well, be in a category where they have another residence, won't they?
it would depend on the nature of the apartments and what the ventilation systems in the apartments are. And so, you know, the people who are putting forward those isolation plans will need to provide that information. But, you know, people who are going to a standalone home, for example, where it's not attached to another home, doesn't share ventilation with another home, those are the sorts of, and they're going to be staying there by themselves. Those, that clearly, you know, ticks all of the boxes. There'll be other arrangements potential in there as well. That's what this process is designed to test out.
So potentially could people come to a family home and just stay in a wing of it in the future?
If it was, if they could clearly demonstrate that wing of the home was sufficiently large that it could be completely self-contained, and that they wouldn't need to come into contact with other people or share the airspace of those other people, then that may well be a possibility.
So it's pretty limiting then, from what you were saying. Even as a future blueprint, it is very limiting and potentially only, well, only wealthier individuals may be able to participate.
It starts small. It starts quite narrow and quite restrictive. But of course, you know, over time, higher rates of vaccination means that, you know, we can expand those settings a little, you know, more and more as more people are vaccinated, and as we find that it's safer and safer to do that. So yes, it is starting small because at this point we're still at a very low risk environment. We still have a very low appetite for risk. But as we get into a higher, you know, proportion of the population being vaccinated, as the risk of COVID-19 poses is reduced through vaccination, then potentially the level of risk that we can tolerate at the border, it's still going to be low, but it might not have to be as absolutely low as it is now.
So the last people in this pilot will get out of their self-isolation on the 22nd of December. So, well, that potentially means that there's going to be no uptake of this in a broader sense for several months. I mean, Parliament goes into recess. Normally the first date back is when you all head off to Ratana. When's that? February. So we're talking months before this actually swings into anything bigger, aren't we, Minister?
No, this is a live, real-time trial where we'll be collecting insights as we go along, and we'll be making decisions as we go along. We'll be capturing the lessons as we go along. We'll be planning for the next stages as we go along. We won't be doing the pilot, waiting to do an evaluation, and then several months later making decisions on that. We'll be making decisions as we go.
Okay, so when do you anticipate, let's assume for a minute that it goes swimmingly well, right? When is the first opportunity you think that you'd have to broaden it out to a bigger group if it goes well?
I mean, like, I can talk about some of the things that we could look to see early in the new year. So we could look to see more people isolating at home. We could also be looking at other isolation arrangements next year that haven't been on the table up until now, because we've basically had everybody in government-run MIQ facilities. But some of those things around bespoke MIQ arrangements, which haven't been options up till now, they may well become options early in the first part of next year.
So first part, Minister, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but people will be, you know, straining to hear what month you're talking about here. So when you say first part, do you mean January, February?
Oh, I mean, and certainly in the first quarter of next year. You know, we'll be certainly aiming to give people more of an indication as this pilot goes along about what's working and what they can expect to see early next year.
Let's move on to Auckland and the fact that we're still in level three here. October 4th is when you're going to reassess the situation. That is already into the school holidays, right? So can you give Aucklanders, please, an indication of whether they should cancel any trips they've got planned at the moment? Will you allow them to travel outside of Auckland, even if we move to level two during that time?
Look, decisions haven't been taken on that, and I don't want to get ahead of the decisions that may be taken. I'm feeling optimistic about the fact that the case numbers are continuing to trend down, that we're continuing to see them quickly linked, that we are seeing fewer outside of the home exposures. Those are all good and encouraging trends, but it is still too early at this point to be crystal ball gazing about what the future decisions might be.
Okay, I'm not asking you to call it. I'm just asking you to give a general direction here. With so many experts saying Auckland is on a knife edge, do you envisage a level two where people would be immediately able to leave the region freely without internal border checks and they could pack their bags and head off to Queenstown? Would that be a given if we went to level two, or is it possible we could have a modified level two that confines people to the Auckland region? Is that still on the table?
at this point, I wouldn't want to rule things in and out. What you've seen previously is sometimes we've been able to move quickly with alert level changes. Other times we've stepped down through alert level changes. So we've foreshadowed what's happening and then progressively moved towards that. And I wouldn't want to draw a line in the sand either way on what we might do in Auckland at this point. There's still a bit of water to flow under the bridge before we make those decisions.
Okay, Auckland vaccination rate's around 82%. What's the breakdown for, that's across the board though, like an average. So what's the deal for Pacifica and Māori? How are those rates tracking?
I don't have the numbers for Auckland. I've got the numbers, the nationwide numbers, and they are looking better. So about 310,000 Māori first doses, about 158,000 second doses, about 201,000 for Pacific people, and about 111,000 second doses there. And that's, you know, out of a, if we look at the population who have had doses so far, it's 3.2 million people who have had at least one dose so far. So we're seeing the numbers of Māori and Pacific people are going up. Māori in particular, big uptick in numbers there over the last two and a half weeks. So that's encouraging.
If they don't get up to that 90%, which the Prime Minister has indicated, in the Auckland area, could that stop Auckland from shifting down a level?
But we've still got a big hill ahead of us to climb. But what we're seeing is good numbers of people coming forward to be vaccinated. We have seen an uptick in those Māori and Pacifica numbers over the last couple of weeks. That's really encouraging. My message is, you know, keep coming forward. The 90% numbers, you know, we've never set that as a hard and fast rule by government. Others have.
But it's a carrot, Minister. It's a carrot.
Oh, absolutely. Look, it's something that we should all be working towards. But as I've always said, the number of who make up the unvaccinated population does matter. And so we will be looking at that. For example, if they're concentrated in particular geographical areas, if they're concentrated in particular communities, then that does create a risk, because if COVID makes it into those areas, then it can spread quite rapidly.
Thank you for your time this evening. That is the COVID-19 Response Minister, Chris Hipkins.